This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
We welcome you to Monday morning, December the 5th, 2022. That was disappointing. Today should be a victory Monday. The Giants should have won. The Jets should have won. We should have been singing and dancing and having a grand old time. Instead, my team didn't win, tied. Your team had a million chances, didn't win, lost. Jacob DeGrom says bye-bye. You had great picks this weekend. Let's get to all of it this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let's not pretend like you had great picks either. You won one game, all right?
And in comparison to yours?
Zero. I'm done. It's over. It's
you're taking defeat?
No, I'm not going to take defeat. Just mentally, I'm done. I'm shot. I can't take it.
You're 0-6 in your last six.
I know. Trust me, I know. It's a big topic of conversation around the house right now. Big topic of conversation.
How could any you have one win the last nine picks?
Yeah, people are being sent home from vacation is what's happening right now.
What is happening?
You know what's happening.
No, I'm not really sure.
It's paralysis by analysis. And when you take me and you mix it with a little of my father-in-law, bad things are now happening. So he will be sent home.
That's it. You're done with him.
He's on a plane. He's out. He's dead to me. I can't take it. 0-6 is unacceptable. It can't happen.
You're a big blame guy, aren't you?
No, I'm not a big blame guy. I'm identifying what's going wrong.
So, and you blame him?
He's part of the blame, so he's out.
He's out.
He's messing
with. So who are you bringing in?
Just nobody.
No, just you?
Yeah. Probably Rocco.
It can't be worse. Rocco, I'm going to put down two helmets. Whichever one you point to is the game I'm going to take.
I don't hate my picks, though. Like the Damian Woody on Get Up. I'll give him a hammer and have him smash the small little helmet that he doesn't like.
I love it.
I like my picks. I stand by them.
Oh, no, they're great.
No, really, last week were bad. I didn't really mind my picks. I thought my picks were good this week. What's this? We both had Kansas City.
I don't feel badly about that game.
They had the lead.
They had the ball. If Travis Kelce doesn't fumble that ball, they win that game.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Seattle, I like that pick. And I mean,
Seattle was awful yesterday.
No, but I like the pick. I know they were awful, but
Well, obviously, every game you take, you're going to like the pick. That's why you're taking the game.
No, I like this. Seattle was a good pick. Stand by that pick. Okay. Tennessee, not so much.
Seattle trailed with a minute to go in the game.
It doesn't matter. It was a good pick. I stand by it.
All right.
It's a good pick.
It's a great pick.
The Rams stink. The Rams stink. Seattle's coming off a loss. They need the win. I didn't know Kenneth Walker was going to get hurt.
Yeah, that hurt me big time.
So, yeah, it's a good pick.
Okay, good. So you 0-6, and you're doing great. So, and what was your third game?
I don't want to talk about the third game. Well, RJ picked the same because RJ picked the same game.
That's right. You took. Ugh.
Yeah,
it was you took Tennessee.
It was the AJ Brown.
Was that a good pick too?
No, that I told you. I just told you if you listen, that was a terrible pick.
Terrible.
I stand
pick.
By that being terrible.
Terrible pick.
Awful.
Awful pick.
Almost as good as your Miami pick.
The Miami pick is closer than your pick.
It was still bad.
Who had the worst day of the three of us yesterday? Me, you, or RJ?
I think me. Oh, because RJ lost Jimmy G?
He lost his quarterback.
According to Raymond, it's no big deal.
You should. I mean, Raymond's takes this morning are special. Special.
It's no big deal.
So this, I walk in and see him. He's like, thanks a lot to your stinking Giants. Like, why do you care? Like, you don't like the Giants. Cowboys won. You weren't looking to us to win a game to help you in any way. What do you care? He's like, I mean, you couldn't get into field goal range to win that game? I'm like, again, I'm confused at why you care. You're like, I picked the Giants. I'm like, again, Ray, still confused why you care. I picked the Giants, and they didn't cover?
Guys won.
And they didn't cover? I said, Ray, we had the Giants plus 2.5. They covered. Oh, well, still, they should have won that game. So, oh, boy.
Oh, we're in one. We're in for one today. I like it.
We are in for one today, and welcome aboard, and good morning. So where do you want to start? We think we have Rex Ryan at 7:45 this morning, by the way. That would
be
nice.
We could be in a different country. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know if he shows, when he shows. So that would be at 7:35 this morning. We have the Frenzy 7:15. We have Around the League, ATL, as some call it, at 6:45. And we have a lot of calls, 1-800-919-3776. I'm just, and I think you probably feel the same way, really disappointed in the result of my team yesterday.
Yes. Agreed.
Really disappointed. Because the Giants should have, they should have won that game. They should have won that game. Now, second half, ultra conservative. I mean, Darius Slayton, I know you guys will sit here and tell me, Darius Slayton is great. I tried to tell you he's not good. And every week I go, oh, he's very good. You missed the boat on Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton is not good.
The man had one drop. Will you relax?
It was one drop.
It was huge, yeah.
It's like Kennedy was shot one time only.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, I can't defend it because it was a bad drop.
It was wide open.
That's a ball he has to catch, yeah. I mean, I was surprised that he dropped it. I mean, he was good yesterday up until that point. I mean, big spot, big moment, and he didn't get it done.
Didn't get it done. But the Giants were, you know what upset me about the game yesterday? They were so conservative in the second half. All they needed was a field goal down the stretch of that game. And they couldn't get it done. And then you have Feliciano running up and getting a unsportsmanlike conduct. It's just like, that was not what we've come to expect from the Giants. They've been better than that this season.
They've been better, and they found ways to win these games, these close games. But I think, both teams down the stretch, it was mistakes. I mean, Feliciano penalty. I mean, there were a bunch of penalties for Washington. It felt like, however this game was going to go, one way or the other, the team that lost and ends up being a tie was going to be disappointed and ask themselves, how do we not find a way to win this game? Because it was winnable. Yeah, it's a weird thing, though, after the game. It's like, I don't even know how you feel after a game like that.
Well, I think you're still in the same position. You now need to win that game in Washington, is what you've now done. So you have this game against Philly this weekend. I think everybody expects them to lose this game, and I'm sure that they will. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, you'll go into Washington, and you now need to win that game. That will now be the game.
That will be the game, and we'll see what happens. And you got to win. Obviously, you have the Indy game, and then whatever happens in Week 18 with the Eagles.
Eagles might have that all cinched away, though.
They might, especially now. Yeah, with how things are going with San Francisco having no quarterback.
Well, but San Fran has four losses anyway, don't they?
No, yeah. So, San Francisco, and then, we saw what Minnesota looked like. I mean, that was really the team.
And I guess they still are the team that could catch them, but
I don't know about that.
Minnesota's not good.
No. The defense is not great.
I got to tell you, near panic now in the NFC for me.
Because the two teams. Because the two teams in the NFC.
I think with Jimmy G being out, I think it's fair to say the best two teams in the NFC are the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely the Eagles. I don't care. I mean, I know you haven't bought into the Eagles. I mean, they destroyed Tennessee yesterday.
Destroyed Tennessee. But here's the thing. Haven't bought into them as them being great, but it's still, who's going to beat them? They're going to be home. They're going to have to win two games. And the only team that looks like they can beat them now is Dallas.
It's your worst nightmare.
I'm not exaggerating with you. I'm being sincere. If the Eagles play the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game, let's go to theater.
Oh, no, you have to watch it.
No,
I
will not watch. I'm not.
You watch every single NFL game.
I will not
game.
Watch that game.
So this will be the first time?
Yep.
Yeah, but you said the AFC was loaded. You don't have to worry. Whoever wins that game has to go play in the AFC.
Well, I'll be terrified. Just because it's one game. New England was better than Philadelphia, and somehow Nick Foles plays the game of his life, and they win that game. Brady throws for 500 yards, and they lose. No. If it's Cowboys-Eagles NFC Championship game, I'm out.
I'll go theater. You know I love the theater. I'll go with you.
All right. Dear Evan Hansen?
Whatever you want.
All right. I don't care what it is. You let Rocco choose. We'll see the Capades if you want.
I don't know if a Micah White.
Can RJ come?
RJ, you want to see the theater if the Cowboys play the Eagles in the NFC Championship game?
Let me see another week of Brock Purdy. I'll let you know.
Yeah, but you love Brock. Come on, you were waxing poetic last night about Brock.
No, that was a serious statement. It was purely neutral. I didn't know I needed Brock Purdy in my life until right.
I didn't know Brock Purdy existed until yesterday.
I knew he existed, but until right that second.
Where do you go to school?
I have no idea.
Iowa State.
Oh, I did know that because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
He was. He was Mr. Irrelevant. They gave him a car. I thought that would kind of be the end of me hearing about Brock Purdy, but here we are.
We're dialed in now.
Yeah, having two quarterbacks taken from you feels wrong. It feels wrong.
You act like it's like a child. I mean, what are you talking about?
No, it you know what? He's 100% right. It is just like losing a child.
It's not.
It's
not losing him to the great unknown, like losing him in a store.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but Jimmy, he could resurface with another family.
See, that's true.
That's the risk when you take these kids into stores.
See, that's true.
You never know.
Stores are unsafe.
But then he could be happier. Like, he could have better parents, and then how would you feel?
It's like that Bryce Young commercial.
What's crazy about that whole thing, it just was just being reported that there was a chance Jimmy G was coming back next year.
Yes.
That door was open, and then his foot snaps in half.
Coming back next year, he was questionable to return to the game.
But everybody's questionable to return to the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of some broken stuff in there.
There's like one guy that gets hurt, and they're like, no, he's out. Otherwise, it's like, wait a minute. But his leg was dangling from the lower half. Though he's questionable, he might be back. He's not coming back.
He's not coming back. Here's the thing, though. I'm trying to sit here and wrap my decide which outcome is more disappointing. The Jets loss or the Giants tie?
Both are very disappointing. Well, I'll say this. The Jets were clearly the better team.
Especially in the second half, yeah.
I don't want to go as far as dominated, but it wasn't far from that. Like, the Jets were clearly the better team. The Giants should have won that game. I mean, Washington went for it 4th and 5? 3 minutes to go, their own 29-yard line, and you roll them left, and you think to yourself, there's no way he's completing this pass. By the way, why they went for that play is beyond me. And Jonathan Vilma's like, you have no choice. He's my new Chris Myers, by the way.
He was very excited.
I mean, he oof.
After the first half, I can't wait to see this. I'm so excited. Are you serious?
He's treacherous.
Are you serious?
I couldn't. Some of the things he's saying. It's like, wait, what are you talking about?
This is exciting football.
He was thrilled. And he kept telling us that Washington's run game was going to wear down the Giants. It's going to just wear them down.
Yeah, but I think between the DeGrom news and then the Jets having a unbelievable opportunity to keep this thing moving forward. And then, but 90-yard drive, like you're up a touchdown, and you give up a 90-yard drive.
And you played up that touchdown the entire second half. Like they were so conservative. It was the first time I was really disappointed with the coaching staff. They were so conservative. All you needed was a field goal. All you needed was to consume a little bit of clock, and you would have won that game. That's all you needed. Go down there. You have a great kicker. Get to the 35, and he's going to make it. And you couldn't do it. And you didn't even try to do it. Like, you played the how much time is left. Let's pin them deep. They won't score a touchdown. And, of course, they did. And that fourth down play just was horrible.
No, but, yeah, I mean, you also have to understand, too. Like, I mean, you have to, like, you go into a game with an idea of what you want to do, and then you react accordingly. And, I mean, there was pressure on, I mean, you had tons of pressure on Heinicke. I mean, having Ojulari back makes a huge difference. Like, Thibodeau's going to be a really good player. Like, you would get Dexter Lawrence is awesome.
He's awesome. Terrific. You know what I could not believe? The one play that I thought was huge was when Thibodeau sacked Heinicke. I can't believe he held on to that football.
I'm surprised, man. He hammered
him. He got crushed.
Yep. Yeah, but there were – I mean, that's – I understand what you're saying. But, too, I mean, you start looking at some of these possessions, though. I mean, yeah, like you – we say all the time about the Giants, right? You can't afford to make mistakes or have negative plays. And you have a bunch of these, like, yeah, I mean, you had the Bellinger holding penalty, you had an illegal man downfield. I mean, stuff like this. Then you had the taunting penalty in the next possession. That screws you up.
The taunting penalty. What are you doing?
Like that. See, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it should have been called, but I've always said, like, why?
Right. I agree with you. Like, and his explanation afterwards, he was running over to Slayton and he wasn't taunting the other team. But why even give them that option? Why go there at all? And you know what else annoyed me? What were they doing at the end of the first half?
Yeah, I don't know.
What were they doing? Why were they? They had no timeouts. There was like 20 seconds left. Why are they running the football on that third down play? Take a shot to the end zone. What are you doing?
I don't know.
And Vilma on that one too. He's like, oh well, they knew they had enough time, and now they can go up and spike it. It's not about having enough time. They settled for three. Why would you ever you have three in the bag. Why would you settle for three?
I haven't actually. It's funny that you just say that because I have it in parentheses. Not sure why they didn't throw one into the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. If you want to call it conservative, what do we want to call it? I mean, that's a game that you had to feel like if you're the coaching staff that we have, like, this is a game that we need.
Well, it's a game they desperately needed.
And you saw some of that with how they used Daniel Jones. I mean,
I thought he played pretty well yesterday. I mean, the thing that was frustrating, and they fell behind 10-0, that fumble on the first drive, I was like, oh, come on, man, because they were moving the football.
I know. And that was, that's been something he's been good with. But again, it's like, because you see, like, during the game, like, because they do have good players. There are some good players. You got some talented players.
There are some good players, and there are some guys that should not be playing football in the NFL.
And you see it, right? Like, you'll see it. Like, all of a sudden, like, they and these teams are smart, right? Like, it's, you knew, like, Fabian Moreau couldn't cover Terry McLaurin one-on-one. He couldn't do it. So they would go to that. And then all of a sudden, Zion Gilbert comes in, and they went right after Zion Gilbert.
Who is this man? Who is Zion Gilbert?
They went right after him.
Of course they went after him. They were probably like, wait, who's this guy on their team? Let's go after him.
He is a practice squad guy.
Yeah,
FAU.
Exactly.
FAU, put that in your memory bank. FAU,
Florida Atlantic University.
Although you don't need it because Saturday Stump Rothenberg may almost have died forever.
Leo's trying to murder. He's like Charles Manson. He's trying to stab it right in the heart
multiple times. And then your boy Harvey was the accomplice.
It's a treat, those two.
Holy,
it's a treat.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
4th and 10 for the Jets at the 19 of Minnesota. Back to throw, looks over the middle, fires into the end zone, intercepted by Cameron Bynum, and the Jets will come up just short.
I thought at the time he was our best option, felt the rush get on me, so I didn't want to finish with the ball in my hands.
They stood up, things that we could have done better also.
By no means are we trying to make this a moral victory, because moral victories don't count in the NFL, but really proud of how guys stayed together. We stared adversity straight in the face and responded. You just got to respond better.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, you see what he's doing? He's rubbing salt right into your wound. What a bad guy.
That's great. Great, Santi.
Oh, wow. You really are. You know, you're so passive aggressive. Time for straight talk.
Before you even do that, you didn't even pick up what I did last hour.
What'd you do last hour?
I played suit and tie. And you just didn't pick up on it.
Why are you being a bad guy today, though?
Yeah, well,
it's
what
us
the hell?
That just took 2 minutes to load the traffic report.
You call me a bad guy. I'm just trying to give you content.
That's awful. Purple rain. Why would you do that? By the way, please don't interrupt me again when I'm reading. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. That's just awful. I don't know how you deal with him the rest of the show, Rick.
Apparently, he took shots at you in the first hour, too, but we were so engaged.
Yeah, but they were so subtle that I didn't pick up them. You didn't pick up suit and tie? Nope, I did not.
It's right there in the title.
Sorry. Rick, did you pick up on suit and tie?
It would have been nice if you took as much pride in your traffic reports as opposed to letting them run for two minutes.
Yeah, you make poor Cindy wait there for like 45 seconds before you give her the baton to run with.
I can't speak to the traffic report. Got nothing awful to say to that.
Okay, yeah, stop pointing fingers. That's fine. Yeah. That's who you are.
How about purple rain? I mean, the guy's already down. We lost Jacob deGrom. Then he's got 2 o'clock hockey practice. The Jets dominate much of that game, have almost 500 yards of offense, a first and goal at the 4, and can't get in. And then you have to play purple rain?
Don't blame me. Blame Braxton Berrios.
Oh, you're a bad, bad human being. Rick, I mean, that is, oof. Yesterday when that game was over, now there's still a path to get in, but you got to be sick to your stomach about that loss yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great, but I mean, this is what happens when you go 1 for 6 in the red zone. Can't convert on third down. I mean, it's not good. And you had opportunities. Second half. Yeah, I mean, listen, if we had played as well in the second half, in the first half, we would have easily won the game.
Yeah. Well, you can't fall behind. I mean, I guess you can because you had this game on a silver platter, but you can't fall behind 17-3
on the
road consistently and come back and win games.
Well, 17-3, you're down 20-6. Now you have that fourth down you go for, you don't get it. So they kick the field goal, and then somehow you manage to kick a 60-yard field goal to make it 20-6. But
I thought the game was over when the Jets went for it in the first half at their own, 45-yard line?
I didn't love it. Yeah, I didn't love it. They end up kicking a field goal. But I think that field goal at the end of the half, the 60-yarder was
huge. Zuerlein was good.
Yeah, Zuerlein was good. I thought Mike White early was not great.
He seemed to miss a lot of open guys yesterday.
Throws he usually makes. But, yeah, like, listen, in Minnesota, they're fine. They're fine. But, that's a game that going in was going to be a tough test. It was definitely going to be a tough test. I mean, still, I mean, their record is what it is. I mean, they're 10-2. I mean, you go into that game, they're 9-2.
Right. Now they're 10-2.
Now they're 10-2. So, I mean, you're going to have your hands full, especially after the way the first half unfolded. But you had, yeah.
I stand by what I said going into that game. I think the Jets are better than Minnesota. I think they're a better team.
Well, the Jets' defense is definitely better.
Jets are a better football team than Minnesota. I know they're 9-2. I know they're now 10-2. I do not believe in Minnesota.
But saying you don't believe in Minnesota and saying that they're not a better team than the Jets are two different things.
But I think both can be true. Separately, both can be true.
I don't
believe in Minnesota, and I stand by. I think the Jets are a better team.
I don't know if the Jets are a better team yet. I don't know if they're a better team yet. They should have won the game, but I don't know if they're a better team yet. Defense is definitely better.
I think overall the Jets. Listen, they should have won that game. They dominated that game.
You're not wrong. I don't disagree. You can say that, and that's fine. But when it was all said and done, is you were one like in the categories that matter, which is you got to score more points than the other team. You were 1-for-6 in the red zone. 1-for-6. They were 3-for-3.
Yeah, bad. It's bad. I mean, you have first and goal at the 4. You have to figure out a way to punch that ball in.
You have to. Even the touchdown you score with Mike White had to go to review because he didn't know if he got in or not.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I didn't think he got in. But, I mean, come on, man.
Thank God for the overhead camera.
Yeah, you have to figure out a way to get that football into the end zone. You're driving up and down the field. Now you get to the 4. I get it. There's less field to play with. But still, you got to push the ball over the end zone.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when it's first and goal at the 1 yard line. I mean, it's first and goal at the 1 yard line, and then you ran it again. Harrison Smith and gets into the backfield, and then you make the throw to the right corner for Garrett Wilson. He never managed to get to the right corner.
Nope.
And then Berrios has a chance to catch it, and we're not having this conversation.
Should have caught that ball.
Yeah, he
should have caught that ball.
Yeah,
and he'll tell you he should have caught that ball.
He knows it.
But I see no reason that Mike White didn't entrench himself more yesterday as the starting. Like, he's clearly got to be the starting quarterback moving forward.
Dude, they walked onto the plane wearing Mike effing White shirts. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, that's why I said at the time, like, that Zach Wilson was not just Zach Wilson playing bad against the Patriots and then saying no, answering no to that question. This had been something that had been going on. It wasn't just that one instance. They're like, okay, you know what? The Zach Wilson thing's not working out. This was
building, and then it came
was
to a
bubbling,
head. You had to make the change. You know, it's funny. I was listening to a lot of postgame stuff yesterday and on Twitter, and everyone was so bothered by the last drive. And my thought was, it wasn't the last drive. You know, the one where they got down to the 19 and they got picked off at the 3-4 yard line.
By Bond going for Davis.
Come on, I don't blame them for that. It's the second to last drive. You're first and goal at the 1 or the 2. You have to put the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, you have to get it in. You have to. Okay, by the way, are you today, in front of God, the listeners, and them boys, admit that your Corey Davis song was something you're ashamed of now?
No. Why would I be ashamed of song?
Corey Davis is Jerry Rice compared to Kenny Golladay.
Corey Davis.
I'm taking the Panthers
big contract of Corey Davis. No. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Kenny Golladay is one of the most catastrophic free agent signings in the history of sports. Corey Davis is not very good. Both can be correct.
Great catch yesterday.
So he had a good catch yesterday? Wow.
It was a nice catch.
Wow. Let's stop the presses. Nice.
You know what amazes me about football, though, when I watch all these games, and why the fact that we have to make picks makes me sick to my stomach?
Yeah, clearly.
Well, clearly, because I'm failing right now miserably. But in the second half, defense, I mean, they just start the half off, it's 3-and-out. Then they go, they punt again, it's 6 plays. Then it's 3-and-out. And then just all of a sudden they decide, we're going to go seven plays, 75 yards, and score a touchdown. It's like the same thing with Washington. They had nothing going, and then all of a sudden just starting at their own 10-yard line. Yeah, well, just we're going to run down the
right,
field.
We haven't scored a touchdown since the first drive of the game. And now we'll just go 90 yards right down the field. Touchdown.
Now we'll just march right down.
Yeah.
I love that.
Sports is weird, man. That's why people absolutely can't get enough of it. Robert Saleh, let's hear from your head coach. This team never, ever gives up. Here he is.
I'm proud to be this team's coach. I'm proud of every single person in that locker room. They absolutely fought their tails off. This team doesn't quit. There's no moral victories or anything like that, but if we play like that, I know we're going to win more often than not.
So you're 7-5. You have 5 games left. You have to go 3-2.
We got winnable games, though. I mean, this Buffalo game, you got your hands full. Obviously, get your hands full.
Well, you don't expect to win that game.
No.
So now you'd look at 7-6, and then you're home to Detroit, home to Jacksonville, at Seattle, at Miami.
Yeah. No, but you just told me that you think they're a better team than Minnesota, so why can't they win 3 games?
I absolutely think they can. Here, I'm going to give you the team right now. I played this game with RJ a few minutes ago off the air. I'm playing with you right now. There's a team that scares me for the Jets to get in. Not who you're playing, who you're maybe competing with. Any guess?
Hold on.
All right, take your time.
There's a team in the AFC that scares you, Vegas.
Yeah. Yep. Scares me.
Yeah. Well, you said you're all over. You love Vegas. Is Vegas right?
Vegas.
Yeah. You know, you said you love Vegas this week. You didn't take them.
I know. Because they're 5-7, and they have the Rams on Thursday, which you think they'll probably win. And then you guys have the Bills, which you think you'll probably lose. And then when you wake up on Monday morning, you'll be 7-6, and they'll be 6-7.
The Chargers stink, by the way.
Chargers stink. Patriots stink. What? Chargers stink. Patriots stink.
No, you're right. But I'm sitting here, and of course, all of a sudden now, the Jets highlights just pop on, and I'm sitting here watching the first and goal, second and goal. And now we're just throwing it to the back corner of the end zone out of bounds for no reason.
Did they score a touchdown on the replays?
No. Garrett Wilson stumbles down.
Does Berrios still drop the football?
Oh, I'm in the final right now.
Hang on, Berrios.
Yeah, there it is. I wonder if he was. I'm wondering if he was expecting him to just sit down once he got into that spot.
He still should have caught it.
No, I don't disagree. It would have been an easier catch. But remember, too, on that drive where they got all the way down there, he had Garrett Wilson wide open. Garrett Wilson cooked Peterson, and he overthrew him.
He did.
That was a touchdown. There's your touchdown right there.
There's your touchdown right there.
If he hits that in stride.
They had their chances. They didn't get it done. I mean, it's disappointing. The nice thing, I guess, the nice thing about both of the locals yesterday, as disappointing as it was, is they're still very much alive. Very much alive. The Jets should make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you feel like both teams should make it to the playoffs.
Well, I feel much more confident in the Jets right now. Firstly, I think the Jets are better than the Giants at the moment.
I think you're right.
Secondly, I mean, the teams you're competing with, New England is not good. Chargers are not good. And even though I'm concerned a little bit about the Raiders, you have a 2-game lead over the Raiders right
There's
now.
There's not a lot of teams. That is the biggest thing with the NFL this year, though. There's not a lot of good teams.
No, there's not. I mean, how many teams are good in the NFL right now?
Not many.
Not many.
Buffalo's good.
Kansas City's good.
Cincinnati's good.
Baltimore, I'll tell you what, Baltimore's not good.
Well, especially now, man.
Yeah, but let's not use that as a crutch. Even when Lamar's been healthy and playing, he hasn't been good.
They haven't been good, but they've been finding ways to win.
Well, they found a way to win yesterday, too.
But that game was not a game that should have been.
That game was really tough to watch.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I told you months ago that I had heard that Jacob DeGrom was not going to re-sign with the Mets. And you took it seriously, and there's a lot of people that didn't. And then there was some people on Twitter like, oh, like, you have any idea? And I said, all right, take it for what it's worth. Believe it, don't believe it, it's up to you. And then Friday night, you called me, and I knew something was going on because you called me at what, like 7:30 on Friday night? I was like, what? Hello, what's going on? And you were like, I just heard news. You're not going to be happy. And then what was the news you heard?
DeGrom, 5-year deal with the Rangers. That was it.
$185 million. Now, you love him. He's homegrown. He's an all-time great. I think it's fair to say the second best pitcher in the history of this franchise. I don't know that if I told you the Mets signed him to that same deal, you'd be feeling great about it this morning.
I wouldn't hate it, though.
Five for 185?
It's $37 million a year, man.
But for 5 years?
Okay, for 5 years. He'll be 35 in June. You just gave Max Scherzer 3 years, $130 million. He's going to be 39 in July.
But at least I'm done with that in 2 years.
Well, he's got his 3rd year as a player option. But and now you're flirting with giving Verlander the same kind of deal you gave Scherzer.
Yeah, I feel. But you know what? I feel better with these short-term deals.
Well, did you watch Verlander? Yeah, you say short. Did you watch Verlander pitch in the postseason?
I did. He wasn't very good. Did you see DeGrom? It's like he was great.
Well, no, he actually was the only one to win a postseason.
I get it, but he was not great. Okay, I don't want to turn this into a beat up DeGrom fest.
No, hold on, because you led me into this though. Let's get one thing straight though. Like when we sit and watch, because everyone's watching, because it is must watch television when Jacob DeGrom pitches.
Yes, it is.
How you consume him and how you criticize him after is different than everyone else. When you're like, oh, Jake doesn't look like Jake. Well, what that means is Jake doesn't look like the best pitcher in baseball. He's still good, but he's not the most dominant pitcher in baseball. That's a different level than these other guys that we're talking about.
He's awesome. I am not going to say anything negative about him. All I'm going to say, and again, it's not about how he pitched down the stretch. For me, it's more about just the amount that he got and the length of the contract that he got. But in that Friday night game in Atlanta, when you needed him to go out and give you an elite start, he was not great by any stretch.
Well, no, he gave up. I mean, what did he give up? Are you talking about the game where he gave up 3 home runs?
Yeah, 3 solo home runs.
Yeah, in the Oakland game, he didn't pitch well either. It's not the amount of money. $37 million is not a lot.
No, it's the amount of years. If you told me they signed him to a 3-year deal at 37 per, I'd be fine with it.
But again, when you gave, here's the problem, though. You already set your own market. You gave Max Scherzer $43 million a year. What I don't understand about the whole thing is because he said it the entire time, and you said it, and I didn't want to believe it, but it kind of made sense because why would you keep announcing to everybody that I'm opting out? I don't understand what's so bad about pitching for the Mets. You're going
to
now.
He didn't want to be here.
Why?
For whatever reason.
How long is he here for?
I think he didn't like New York.
We don't even criticize him in New York.
Listen, I'm not saying he has an issue with the Mets fan. I don't think he liked it here. I don't think he wanted to be here. I've heard he didn't enjoy dealing with the media here. And obviously he didn't want to be here. He didn't even go back to the Mets and give them a chance to match the offer. So clearly this was not where he wanted to be.
Oh, they probably made it pretty clear that they were going to go to 5 years.
Okay, which is fine. But if you get 5 for $185, he could have gone back to the Mets and had his people say, 5 $185 on the table, will you match it? Because he wants to stay here, but he wants to get paid, and there's no state income tax.
There has to be more to this. I just feel like there has to be more to this. Like, what was, like, first of all, you're not living here all year round. Second of all, I mean, is anyone in New York sports treated better than Jacob DeGrom?
No, never. Because, listen, how many times when a guy is consistently injured do people just destroy him? Nobody ever says anything negative about him. Ever.
No, because we all realize how good he is.
I know, but you know what? I'm upset that he left. He's an all-time great Met. I love him. I'm not heartbroken that he's gone. I'm not.
Okay, but this is the disconnect for me. And maybe this is just the former athlete in me, because I don't really like I had this whole, like, when I signed my contract, one of the reasons why I signed my contract is because I wanted to be with the Islanders for my entire career. I thought we were trending in the right direction, but when push came to shove, they took a chance, drafted me number one, and I thought, and I was almost positive that at some point during the course of my deal, I would win a Stanley Cup, we would win a Stanley Cup, and then I would be done, retired, I'd be a part of the organization, everything would be great. Like, you have, like, that's what goes through your mind. You get your number retired, all those things, and like, this is where I belong. I'm in Long Island. I still live in Long Island. I'd be here for the rest of my life. I would go to get, all that stuff would be, I'd have my home. Like, Jacob DeGrom, if... And now it's the big if. That's why, you know, Mets hesitant to give him a long-term deal, more than 3 years, is he pitches the way he knows he can pitch. You're talking about, like, there'll be a Jacob DeGrom statue outside of Citi Field. His number will be retired.
But, Rick, obviously,
you'll have a chance to win a World Series.
That didn't matter to him.
That makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
It doesn't need to make sense to you. It made sense to him. He didn't want to be here. And he made it perfectly clear. Every time he had a chance to tell you he was going to opt out, he told you he was going to opt out. Every time that was brought up, or even when it wasn't brought up, he brought it up. He made it perfectly clear. Like, if you were reading the tea leaves, you knew he wasn't going to come back.
No, it was the emotional connection that wasn't allow you to completely, wouldn't allow you to completely accept that.
And can I say one thing, too? And again, I love him, and he's an all-timer, and I wish him nothing but success. And I think you might have an issue with this statement. Clearly, winning a World Series is not priority number one for Jacob DeGrom.
I can't speak to that. It doesn't feel like that because it just doesn't seem like, I mean, Texas is, you feel like your best chance would be with the Mets.
But you know what? Maybe he wants a city where you're not going to be on the back page every day, right? The Cowboys get every back page and they will consistently.
But why? But that most of the back pages that he was on was good stuff.
Listen, he didn't want to be here and it sucks.
I don't get it.
But he didn't want to be here. Let's go to Jack in DC. Good morning, Troll Jack. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Rick and Dave. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we have not had the greatest of weekends, but we're hanging in there.
I can understand that. Paying DeGrom for 5 years is absolute insanity. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and giving him 5 years is crazy. So I think the Mets dodged a bullet with that, but it still hurts. Like, you're a Mets fan. You still feel pain. You're losing one of the greatest players in the history of your franchise, and that sucks, and I can understand that. But I think there's many reasons for Jacob DeGrom to choose somewhere other than New York, other than just the team. You know, maybe, I don't know, he liked the area of Texas. Like, Rick, you know this. A player only gets to choose where they're going to play once, maybe twice if they're lucky in their entire career. So I don't think you can really blame Jacob DeGrom for, like he wanted to go to Texas. Like,
yeah, but I understand it.
You can't really blame him for not wanting to stay in New York.
Jack, I don't blame him. Listen, I mean, it's his. He decided to opt out, so it was his decision. I just don't, like, I have a great chance to win. Okay, the owner's going to spend whatever it takes.
They treat me like a Greek god here in New York.
And on top of that, we keep talking about, like, it's not a great place to live. Like, how much, like, he doesn't have to stay here during the off season. Like, how much, like, you're staying in a beautiful, like, wherever you live, you wake up, you go to the ballpark, you go back to your house. Like, there's days where you go, you can go do stuff. But, like, I don't know, man. It doesn't make, and what else doesn't make sense is, like, this whole idea that it's, like this coping mechanism that all the Mets fans have now. Like, you dodged the bullet with that one. Like $37 million is not a crazy amount of money.
For 5 years, it's a long deal, though.
It's a long deal, but it's not a crazy, like, what do you think, the Garrett Cole, $36 million a year is going to look good?
No, I don't think any of it's
going to sign him to a 9-year deal. How about the Francisco Lindor, $34 million a year for 10 years?
No, but this guy's
or
not
when
healthy
Aaron
now.
Judge signs for 9 years.
He's not healthy. He's made, what, 38 starts over the last three seasons?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. So they know all his medical stuff better than we do. So that's part of it, too.
I mean, I think more than the amount, it's the length.
I don't think they
want to get into this 5-year contract.
It has nothing to do with the amount of money.
Right.
Nothing. Here's the thing, though, and this is why I was so pissed when Billy Epler didn't do more at the deadline. How much different this team is going to be now?
It's going to look completely different. You know what? Here's what I have to believe, and I'm hanging my hat on this.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Not now, but I think trade deadline, they fall out of it. I think Ohtani's going to be your play.
It's going to be your play, but what's the team going to look like? You don't know if Nimmo's going to be back.
You have no idea.
Your bullpen you have nothing in your bullpen.
You have nothing in your bullpen. Your starting rotation right now is, what, Scherzer and Carrasco? Yeah, no, it's not great. But they have a lot of money to spend, and I think Epler's pretty good.
We don't know yet.
We'll see.
Oh, you say pretty good. He didn't know. I mean, how were the Angels? Good?
No, not so good.
Okay. How was his deadline? Good?
His deadline was awful.
Oh, great.
Well, what are you trying to just hammer home a point? So they stink? Should I give up?
What do you want me to do? I'm not trying to hammer home anything. I just don't. I hate, like, I heard so many, I listened to your show on Saturday, and just so many people calling in with the whole, like, yeah, good. We didn't need him anyway.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's like, okay.
No, I think
the guy's one of the greatest pitchers we've ever seen.
I'll tell you, I spoke to RJ, I told you who I spoke to this weekend, right, off the air? Important baseball person. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Very important baseball person. He or she said that the Mets are thrilled that someone made that kind of an offer for him. Because now they can just say, you know what, we're not going there.
Yeah. Well, which again, I mean, they know more about it than we do. Like, we're not behind the scenes. Like, we only see him in front of a microphone, and he says all the right things. So we don't know how he acts towards them. Like, I mean, there was that, you know, that time when he decided he wanted to get up in front of a microphone and say, no, my elbow's fine. Like, it'd be him and the medical staff.
Right.
If he's a pain in the, we don't know if he's a pain in the ass.
He could be impossible. You have no
how
idea.
How bad his elbow really looks. Like, maybe they've seen his elbow. We haven't seen the MRIs of his elbow.
Hey, look at your hot sheet take. What was the date?
Sorry.
What?
I don't know. I got to go to your hot sheet take. Hot sheet take.
Oh, hot take sheet? What? Well, whatever. Go to that.
I got some hot sheet just standing
The
right
sheet
here.
Could be hot.
The sheet could be hot. You never know.
The sheet could be hot. All right, can you go to that sheet, please?
I'm trying to find it. Will you relax?
Oh, every day you have it right. Oh, I have it right in front of here.
Well,
12
you got so many
27.
Hot, you've
you
had
said
so
this.
Many hot, you've had so many hot takes that I've had to switch pieces of paper for your hot takes.
Come on, because we got to go around the league. Get with
the
program.
Start
the
go. I'll find it. Start
no, I'm not going to the hot takes during around the league.
Oh my god!
Kind of an operation you think we're running here?
Impossible.
Take as much time as we need. You find that sheet.
RJ, I can't deal with this guy.
What do you mean, this guy? Why are you talking about me in the third person?
Is
I'm right
all
here.
For validation on when you said he would leave. Is that what we're looking
yes,
for?
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
We know.
No. I want it to be defined right here. He has the sheet in front of him every day. He takes notes on the sheet. It never leaves his side. Now, all of a sudden, that I'm right with one, you can't find it?
No, I have
Ken, we all.
Where is it?
We all know what you said. We all agreed. We all agreed that you said it at the time. We all have your back. We support you. There's no need for him to dig into the archives for it.
That archives, the other day. I was like, I don't think Barkley's going to get to what I had said. He's like, oh, well, what you said on September the 3rd was that he was going to have 92 catches this year. And that was at 647. Now when I get one right, oh, all of a sudden, he can't find the sheet.
But we're all acknowledging
the Barkley
you
one right here, yeah.
Yeah, the Bark, where's the others?
I'm struggling to find.
You're acting like we're fighting you on this.
You animal.
But we're not.
You know what? Forget it. I'm not going to quit because I think that the show needs me today more than ever, but I am unhappy with the direction it's heading in. Let's go in a different direction and go around the league, please.
It's time to go around the league.
And around the league is brought to you by Jack Pocket. Oh, hello, Jack Pocket. Hello, around the league. Let's start in Atlanta, where they were right there for the NFC South. Maybe no longer. Pittsburgh 19-16 in a thriller against the Atlanta Falcons.
Pittsburgh's rolling. Pittsburgh's playing good ball now.
Yeah. They short week. They win in Indianapolis. They win in Atlanta. Listen, they are a win away if they had beaten the Jets in that game, which they could have, from being a 500 team right now.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I thought, I mean, I don't think Atlanta's good by any means.
They're not.
But, I mean, just the division's not good either. And that was a game. Like, I don't know what's going to happen tonight with Tampa. Tampa hasn't been good either. And they've struggled with the Saints in the past. But, like, sense of urgency-wise, who the game means more to, I mean, that was a game Atlanta needed to win.
Yeah, but they're just not very good.
No, that's the
I
problem.
Mean, remember, Pittsburgh was favored in that game, which raised some eyebrows when we went through that one. In Baltimore, first of all, the Broncos are just unwatchable.
Awful.
Really, their offense, they score like 15 points a game. They scored 9 yesterday. They didn't put the ball in the end zone. 3 field goals from Brandon McManus. Now, Lamar got hurt. Huntley came in, led them on a game-winning touchdown drive in the closing moments. Ravens at 8-4, but that doesn't feel like a very promising 8-4.
No, but this is not. I mean, this is not just one week. Like even with Lamar the week before, they haven't looked good in weeks. No,
they haven't looked good in weeks. John Harbaugh, give us the update on Lamar. Take your time, though, John.
Well done, Santi.
Don't want to rush you. John Harbaugh, can you now give us the update on Lamar?
It's a knee, but it's not a season-ending type of knee. We'll get more tests tomorrow and let you know how long it's going to be. We'll see. But it's going to be a number of days to weeks. We'll see.
That's not promising. Although Huntley's a decent backup quarterback.
I think he's one of the better backups.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually think he's right on that like fringe of he could be a starting quarterback.
I had a good day, man. I mean, he rushed the ball for 40 yards, and then he was 27 to 32 for a buck 87.
They had that awful trick play where they flipped it around and went back to him, and he threw it into the end zone. And there was like four guys waiting for it to pick it off.
Sometimes you try to get a little bit too cute.
A little too cute. Packers, I don't know if they're going to get in, but their slim playoff hopes stay alive. They beat the Bears in Chicago 28-19. Aaron Rodgers gets the win in this one.
Yeah, another mistake, though. I mean, the Bears team is not, like, the most promising thing about that team is obviously Justin Fields. But again, he threw another bad, that was not a great interception he threw.
No, and he threw a couple of them. One late, one a little bit earlier than that. I don't know if he's 100% healthy, and they're 3-10 down the stretch here. It's not that Detroit won the game, Rick. It's that Detroit destroyed Jacksonville in the game, 40-14. I'll tell you what, say what you want, that Lions offense has a lot of weapons on it.
I told you the other day, dude, I saw a stat. When Amon-Ra St. Brown plays, Detroit has one of the best offenses in the NFL.
And he had two more touchdowns yesterday.
That's why I drafted. He's a stud.
He really is a stud. Browns and the Texans. It didn't start out well for Cleveland, and their defense and special teams really dominated the day. Deshaun Watson was not very good, but the Browns get the win, improved to 5-7, 27-14 over. Clearly the worst team in the NFL in the Houston Texans.
Houston's awful. Awful. Like, bad. And Deshaun Watson did not look good at all. Rusty, I mean, you're right. Defense and special teams. Otherwise, I mean, that's... of course, it's going to take some time, right? I mean, the guy hasn't played football in how long?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. So he wasn't just going to step on the football field and it just be back to Deshaun Watson.
By the way, what a quote that was. They're awful. They're awful. Like, bad. If we could pull...
But it's not even where, like, it's watching them makes me... It's hard to watch them. They're bad.
That's a very bad football team. I don't know how Kyle Allen is a guy that gets the starting role either.
No, they need a quarterback bad.
Terribly. Well, you know, they're going to have their pick of the litter. Whoever they want, they can have. The Eagles and the Titans, that was a 4.5-point number. Two people on the show took this game, and the Eagles throttled the Titans 35-10.
Throttled. I thought the Tennessee would be better. I was wrong. I mean, Derrick Henry only got, you know.
He did nothing.
He went for 30, but that was, I mean, A.J. Brown. I mean, I guess that was his revenge game. Is that what we're calling it?
So he had, what, two touchdowns, and he was this close to a third touchdown in that
game. He went two tutties, 119 yards, and Jalen Hurts was ridiculous.
Hurts is a problem. I don't think they're great, but they're good enough, and they're going to have home field. I don't know who stops them.
Well, especially now after watching what just happened to
San Francisco
with Jimmy G.
All right, Seahawks-Rams. Rick, you picked the Seahawks -7.
Yeah.
It took every ounce of everything just to win that game. Seattle improves to 7-5. That actually hurt for the Giants. It would have been good if Seattle would have lost that game yesterday.
At that point, as soon as I realized they weren't going to cover, I was hoping that they lost.
Really?
Yes.
That's nice of you.
I try.
You know, it was Geno Smith's first ever game-winning drive in the final 5 minutes of a football game.
Dude, at one point, Wolford pops out of the tent with, like, a heat pack, like, wrapped around his neck.
I saw that. Then he goes hobbling off, and then he comes running back onto the field.
And then all of a sudden, on fourth and two, he's Usain Bolt.
It's funny. Cam Akers, actually, with the Cam Akers sighting yesterday.
I hate making picks.
Well, you're not very good at it. No wonder you do. You know what we should do? Why don't you make your picks, and then we'll go the other way as a show, and we'll just become outrageously wealthy.
That's funny.
Not all that insincere, though. Niners-Dolphins, you mentioned it. Tua was good on the first play, and it was bad the rest of the game. That was the worst game I've seen from him in a long time. But the story of this one, Jimmy G. Broken foot surgery, out for the season.
That's a big loss, man. That's a big loss. This is a team that everyone thought by the time the season had wrapped up and we were getting to the postseason that would be the team to beat. They would be right there with the Eagles.
Well,
and I don't care
because
what Santiago
their game translates to any. You want to play a shootout, they can play with you. You want to grind the football out. Bad weather, they can beat you in any capacity.
I don't care what Santiago says. Like we've already seen this. We've seen this movie with the Niners. When Jimmy G doesn't play, they don't win nearly as much as when Jimmy G does play.
I don't know how Santiago could have the take that losing Jimmy G is really not that big of a deal.
It's I don't even know if that's hot. I don't know what that is.
It's not hot. It's awful, is what it is. It's awful. And who's this guy? What's this guy's name? Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Yep.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. He was Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the draft from Iowa State University. So 8-4, the Niners, and they have the one-game lead over Seattle in the NFC West. Chiefs and the Bengals, this is a really good football game. Bengals got out to a 14-3 lead. Chiefs fought all the way back, had the lead and the ball, and were moving. Kelsey's fumble, I really thought, changed the narrative of this one. Cincinnati's good. Their schedule is brutal down the stretch, but Cincinnati's really good.
Cincy's really good. I mean, they're surging at the right time. This is three straight wins against Kansas City. You're right. Ball and the best player. I mean, ball and your one of your best players, he fumbles, which was a huge play. Samaje Perine has been...
He's every bit as good as Joe Mixon.
Dude, he has been really, really
good. And now they have Jamar Chase back, and their offensive line is starting to round into shape. Cincinnati's a scary team.
How about that touchdown that Tyler Boyd dropped?
Oh, how did he drop that ball?
Oh, wide open, just right off the hit him
wide,
in the face
mask. It was a perfectly placed football, too.
I think it hit his face mask, but yeah, he's got to catch that.
Raiders, Chargers, I'm telling you, man, look out for the Raiders. They've now won three games in a row. They're 5-7. They have a somewhat easy game, you'd think, on Thursday Night Football against the Rams. They beat the Chargers 27-20.
Chargers stink.
Stink.
I mean, that game started off with a pick six, too. Eckler with a fumble. Whatever Josh Jacobs is doing with his calf, like, just keep doing it. Like, oh, yeah, calf's hurting a little bit.
Is he going to play? Like, I would have taken that game if I'd known he was going to play in that game.
And then Davante Adams, man. He went for almost 200 yesterday.
He's unbelievable. And it's not even like they have a really good second receiver. Who do they have? Mac Hollins is their number two receiver?
Yeah, I mean.
What happens when Renfro and Waller come back?
I know, right? Well, this is what happens when you have a Taco Bell in your house.
There's never a line. And then last night, the Cowboys, 21-19, end of three. If you're just waking up and finding out, 54-19 is the final. Cowboys with a 33-point fourth quarter, 54-19 the final there.
A destruction. That game was way too close, though.
They did not look good. Defense did not look great for a bulk of that game.
They did not. But that's what concerns you about Dallas. That's why Stephen A. always goes, don't worry, it's coming. It's going
to
happen.
I hope to God it happens. I hope to God. And that's it. That's Around the League.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rex, we missed you last week. We're happy to have you back on the show this week.
Yes, I had a little too much of that Irish whiskey, I think. No, I didn't. Apparently, word never got to you guys. But
it never did.
I was, you know, I was on, I was rebooting my season here. So now, I was actually in Qatar and went to the World Cup. They changed my flight from like 3 in the afternoon to 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, I'm not going there for 4 days, so... I was like, I'm going to miss you guys. I apologize to our fans.
That's all right.
I know they look forward to our segment so much.
These are highly rated segments. Were you there for the USA-Netherlands game?
I was not. Now, I flew back Saturday morning, but I was there for the big win against Iran.
Oh, we love our soccer here, and we break it down like nobody
Goal.
Else.
That's all I got to say.
So Rex... How should I feel today as a Giants fan? Should I feel like, you know what, they're still very much alive? Should I feel upset and disappointed they didn't win a game I think they should have won? Like, what is the appropriate way to feel as a Giants fan right now?
This sounds crazy, but that tie helped both those teams. And I know it's like, what are you talking about? Well, here's why. Obviously, you prefer a win. But look who's behind them, all right? Detroit's the only one, I think, that can come out of nowhere, right? Yeah, because they're playing really well. And they beat the Giants head-to-head. They beat Washington head-to-head. However, now they don't have to just make up two games in the win column in six games left. They now have to make up three games in the win column. That's what that tie did. It basically put the Giants and Washington both in the playoffs. That's what I think.
Well, how about Seattle, though?
Well, that's a good point. You had to ruin it because, you know, now you're throwing Seattle in there. But
well, I mean, Seattle's half a game back.
I mean, I know, but I still think that when it's all said and done, that the Giants will get in there. I mean, I just think they will. And obviously they're in a tough streak. We knew they weren't as good as their record indicated. I mean, they're 20th in the league in offense and 22nd in the league in defense. That's not, you know – your record should probably be reversed, but they're winning these close games. I was actually encouraged by the way the Giants' offense looked. Like Daniel Jones, this is how they're going to have to win. He's going to have to use his athleticism because I hear your callers and they're talking about, we got no one catch the ball and all that. That's true. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to me because everybody wants to punt on Daniel Jones, and I'm not in that camp. I think it's just the opposite. We saw what Philly did with Jalen Hurts when there were questions about Jalen Hurts, when there were questions about Tua. They went out and got players. Like, let's see. Let's put some guys around them. Daniel Jones, who the hell they got? They don't have any weapons. You know, so you got Saquon, obviously, and that's about it. I felt encouraged. Like, hey, Daniel Jones is still a pretty darn good athlete. They'll keep games close because, I mean, he picked up like 5 first downs.
Yep.
On scrambles, like, you know, in rushes. I don't know. I just think they'll have a chance to steal some games, what they've been doing all year. The Giants showed a pass rush yesterday at 5 sacks, so there were some encouraging things.
Yeah, it was good to get Ojulari back. So, Rex, I'll ask you this. I mean, the deadline is passed. There's one name out there. I mean, there was a report that Odell, his first choice would be the Giants if they were willing to do it. I mean, if you're Joe Shane, do you do it?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Odell does want to come back. He's got a lot of friends here, in the Giant fan base. He loves that. But, guys, when it comes down to a negotiating deal, you're not going to beat Jerry Jones. And I'm just telling you that. So I think he's going to end up in Dallas. I wish he would come back to the Giants, but I just don't see it happening.
So do you think the Giants still get in? Because it sounds like you're –
I do.
You do. You feel like they get in. Their last three. Just explain why, because I don't feel as bullish as you do.
All you got to do is win 3 out of the next – like basically win 3 games, then 3 out of the next 6, in my opinion. And if that happens, I think you're going to be in. You know, and it's – you know – so I think it's that easy. Now, the game's going to be easy.
Dave would be dancing the jig, Rex, if that happens.
Oh, dancing the jig. But Rex, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. So they have 5 games left.
There are 5 games left.
Two of them against Philadelphia, one in Minnesota, one in Washington, and one which I think is very winnable in Indianapolis. You say 3. How are they going to get 3 wins out of those 5 games?
Yeah, you guys are right. They're not making it. No, just kidding. No, I think they will. I think they could split the games in Philly. Sometimes teams don't get up all the time, you know, for games. And this team, Brian Daboll has an eye, you know, he knows who his team is right now. And it's based on 2 guys. You got Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, and that's it. And then the defense seems to be picking it up a little bit, and they're going to have to down the stretch, or you're right, they're not going to make it. But that's I think they will. I really do. I see improvements in their defense, and I like the way, Brian Daboll used Daniel Jones this past week.
All right, Rex, let's go over to the Jets here. So it was a game that, I don't know, like I don't think a lot of people are fully sold on Minnesota, but still, I mean, it's Mike White's second game. They're on the road. Minnesota still has, I mean, they're 9-2 going into that game, but it felt like you missed a real opportunity yesterday.
Well, they did. I mean, how many chances did the Jets have down there? Like, oh, my gosh. I mean, we just got to get a little better in the red zone. I mean, look, the Jets had almost 500 yards of offense. Like, and their defense played well enough. Like, gosh. And the thing that I'm going to tell you this. I was so impressed with how this team played, the fight this team had. That's playoff mentality. And if they keep playing with that kind of effort, good things are going to happen to this team. I don't think there's any doubt. And because it would have been easy to say, you know what, we're on the road against a 9-2 team. You know, this ain't our day. And all of a sudden, you kind of let – like, look what happened to some of the, you know, the Colts, for instance. Like, a lot of teams will like, this ain't our day. That ain't the Jets. The Jets are going to fight like crazy. You've seen that all year, you know, the win against Cleveland. This one here felt like we let one slip away, but it was an amazing effort by this football team. The quarterback did a lot of really good things in the second half. Now, the first half, he looked like he struggled a little bit, but I was encouraged by the way they competed and the fact that, hey, man, it's right there. And if Berrios catches the ball,
yep,
then you take the lead. So I don't know. I was more encouraged than I was disappointed in this team.
Yeah, listen, I'm right there with you. I mean, he had opportunities, a bunch of opportunities, but yeah. 1 for 6 in the red zone is not gonna get it done. So I wanted to ask you about the quarterback because he played really well in his first game against Chicago. I mean, it's Chicago, they stink, but I mean, it's heavy, you know, driving rain, and he still found a way to play really well. But we had a caller call in, and I think having played, kind of agree with him. Mike White looked a little tight early, right? I mean, he gets picked off in the first possession, probably should have got picked off in the second possession. Didn't have a great first half, like. Do you just at some point, if you're Robert Saleh, like as well as he's played these two games, just say, hey, listen, Mike White's our guy. We're going to roll with Mike White as opposed to kind of leaving the door open to, you know, Zach potentially coming back?
Yeah, see, I don't think Robert Saleh will do that. And the reason I say that is I think he told the truth in that he's trying to get this other kid an opportunity to get better. And when he does, when he feels like he's ready, that he's rebooted, so to speak, that maybe Zach Wilson gets back in there. I think, look, this is a kid with an incredibly high ceiling. And, yeah, he hadn't played to that right now. But maybe this opportunity, like, I don't think if Robert Saleh was going to give up on Zach Wilson, it'd be easy to say Mike White's our quarterback going forward, the whole time. I don't know if he's there. I think he actually is trying. He's told everybody the truth. He's trying to build this guy up. Let's reboot it and see how he is. And that's why he hasn't – I don't think he's going to go on record as saying Mike White's our guy moving forward. Now, he might be doing it for this week, but I don't know if he's at that stage right now. Because to me, I think if he does that, it basically says, hey, we've given up on this kid. And I don't believe he has.
Well, that's a tough way to play, though, isn't it, though, for Mike White? I mean, Mike White, if you're going to make the playoffs right now, is your best option. Like, the last thing I would want to do.
Like,
I know
a
you're
tough thing
to
play. Guys, like, a tough thing to play. You're a third-string quarterback. Like, this guy ought to play. You ought to talk about playing loose. Just play smart. That's who the hell you are. If you think you're Joe Montana, you think you're Brett Favre, then you're going to turn the ball over like crazy, and we don't need you anyway. So to me, you got to go in, be a professional quarterback, make the easy things, the easy throws, and that's what you do. That's your job. And protect the football, protect the team. The best part of the team is the defense. Don't ever lose sight of that. That's what Zach Wilson did. Zach Wilson trying to be Brett Favre over there. He needs to be, you know, a game manager. I get it. That's used as a negative term. It's not. It's how you win games. You know, I've seen many times that Tom Brady was a dang game manager. So, you know, to think that Mike White needs to be something special that way, like a Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that, that's never going to happen. You know, but be smart. Play, you know, make the easy things look easy. And I think that's what he does. And if he plays that way, the Jets will be just fine.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rex, you don't think that they go back to Zach Wilson this season, do you? Like, you think – I know they won't tell us and they want to keep it open. It was the second pick of the draft. But you imagine that Mike White's going to roll through the remainder of these games, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yes and no. Like, yeah, I believe that. You know, if things go well, like I think they will, then, yeah, probably Mike White stays. But, guys, if you believe what Robert Saleh was saying – and there's no reason not to. The guy doesn't lie. He tells you what he believes to be the truth. Then he's not giving up on this kid. And if this kid's, you know, ends up, for whatever reason, if Mike White doesn't play well, is there a possibility that he could turn back to Zach Wilson? I think there would be.
All right, Rex, last one about the Jets for me. Mike LaFleur, we take a bunch. Like, when things don't work well offensively, Mike LaFleur is the first one that gets blamed. When you watched yesterday, you saw what they were calling in the red zone. Is that play calling? Is that execution? What would you contribute most for the lack of success?
Well, no. I mean, look, it's easy. It's, you know, if you're able to run the ball and you know, dent the line of scrimmage or whatever, then we're talking about a different thing. If Berrios doesn't drop a ball in the end zone, we're talking about a different thing. You know, it's easy to blame LaFleur because, you know, he looks like he's 20 years old. So I think that's the first thing we look at. But they had 500 yards of offense. Like, when's the last time a Jet team had that many dang yards? And, you know, I can't remember that. I mean, I'm not here to just go crazy on him. They had a bad day in the red zone. Absolutely. And it lost the game because of it. So they have to get better in the red zone. And that's quarterback's got to be quick with decisions, accurate with the football. That's what happens in the red zone. Okay. And the other thing is it'd be nice to be able to run the ball down there. You know, I've watched this dang Detroit team. All they do is run the ball. You know, one kid's got like 15 touchdowns. Like, how come we can't do that? And that's something where, you know, you'd like to. You got to be able to dent the line of scrimmage. And unfortunately, you hadn't been able to do that.
Rex, couple of quick ones and we'll let you run. Niners, are they done? Or do you think they can salvage the season with this Brock Purdy at quarterback?
Well, I mean, they're not done. Like, they're going to be in the playoff hunt. They're going to go deep in the playoffs. However, if you're thinking Super Bowl-wise, yeah, I think they are. I mean, if you're playing with a third-string quarterback, I don't think you're Super Bowl-bound. Even though they got a great defense, I just don't think they're Super Bowl-bound.
Any concern with what you saw from Miami yesterday in San Francisco?
Look, they're playing with two backup tackles.
Yep.
And so, to me, that's the issue. The quarterback looked absolutely, you know, skittish in the pocket. Like, he was more worried about protection than he was anything else. And when you play that way, I saw it last year with Patrick Mahomes. We saw it early this year with Joe Burrow. So I think it's just a blip on the radar. They got to get their players back or they can't protect the quarterback, and you're not going to win that way. But I wouldn't be too concerned with that. You know, his three interceptions equaled the total he's had for the entire – or, you know, the three turnovers they had that equaled the whole year of turnovers for Tua. So, I wouldn't be too, you know, overly concerned. I would be this if those tackles are going to be out a long time, then, yeah, I'd be concerned.
All right, Rex, we appreciate you. We're glad you're back. Hope you enjoyed Qatar, and we will do this again next week unless you're traveling the world.
Well, you know, it's probably 50-50 that I do it. But absolutely, guys, you know, it was my bye week, so I'll see you, and hopefully we get some wins with the Jets and Giants.
That would be delightful. Thanks, Rex. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.